The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
Locusts we have heard on high, sweetly humming o'erhead, and the crickets in reply wish that they could sound that good. Buzzing now in excessive volume. Buzzing now in excessive volume. Locusts, why this jubilee? Why your droning sounds prolong? Now I need some more chablis to survive your tiresome song. Buzzing now in excessive volume. Buzzing now in excessive volume.
From the Little Brick Building on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kielbasa's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's the Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT, AM and FM, Chicago.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the man.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company, because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. If he had a dime for every plant he's killed over the years, the U.S. Mint would be declaring another monetary crisis. Here he is, Mike Nova.
What do you think she meant by that? All right, stand by. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And
one more time. One day we'll be in unison.
One day. No, that will never happen. That will never happen. Hey, I don't have the good headsets that I had last week. I like those. Denny came in here with the special super duper headsets.
Oh, yeah?
I just got the Kmart version here today. Uh-oh. Did I malign Kmart? Uh-oh.
Watch out.
Yeah, I know. Were they open on Black Friday? Is it safe?
Probably.
Is it safe to shop now? Is it safe?
Well, there's Christmas music everywhere, so no. I'd say no.
Well, no, but this is it. It's like we open the rope and we turn people loose and go, go! Shop!
Oh, no.
And I get to play things like
real butter.
It's the holidays. So everything you cook this holiday should be with
real butter.
There you go. You weren't around last year, but that
no.
It's become a kind of a Christmas holiday, Christmas, and we're slashing and burning all the way, tradition. It kind of goes with this.
Flavorful golden brown turkey is the crowning glory of your holiday dinner table. And real butter helps you serve a butter-baked masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how to butter-bake your turkey. After stuffing the bird,
yes.
Pat lots of soft butter all over.
Butter? Did you say butter?
Especially on the drumsticks, breast, and wings.
Yes, especially.
Next, Cover the entire turkey with cheesecloth dipped in melted butter.
What's cheesecloth?
To protect it from shrinking in your oven.
What about plastic?
Then bake it slowly.
Slowly?
Without a lid.
Don't
Never
know.
Higher than 300 to 325 degrees.
My oven doesn't have any numbers
Every
anymore.
Half hour, baste with butter.
Butter.
When it's golden brown,
yeah?
You'll serve your family and guests the juiciest, tenderest turkey ever because you use butter. This year, bake your holiday turkey the American Dairy Association way with real butter.
There you go. That's how to do it.
Ugh.
I hope people... what's the... What do you want? Real margarine?
How about real turkey?
Oh. It is a real turkey.
I like the flavor of the turkey, man. I don't want to eat, you know,
real
butter.
That's how you do it. So I got a few of those things, and then when the holidays come, I trot them out here and use them for the show. I did find some music, though. I have this collection of holiday songs, which, of course, I left at home. I get here early today and still manage to leave the holiday songs at home. However, there are enough of them floating around here. In various files, audio files that I have here that I've been able to put some stuff together, I think.
Well, now I feel like I've already heard a holiday song.
You heard the Frozen Robins at the top of the show.
That was good.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Hold on just a second here. Boom, ba-da, boom. It was this one that and it was part of the package for...
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Back when we had our Kickstarter, and if you were part of the ramp up for the book, which, by the way, have I mentioned, makes a wonderful holiday gift?
I don't know if you've mentioned that.
Attack of the Killer Asparagus?
Yeah,
that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Makes a wonderful holiday gift, and you can go to aroundtheblockpress.com. I mean, this, if we're selling stuff, and I told you to take a day off on Black Friday, yesterday was Small Business Saturday. What is today? Silly Sunday? Sugar Sunday?
Day and Sunday?
Soupy Sunday? whatever the Sunday is. All right, go out and get a copy of
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
I mean, for your friends who are gardeners, why not? I mean, I have to plug it. If I can't plug it in the next 4 weeks for the holiday season, what is the point? What's the point, really?
It's the holiday spirit, man.
It's the holiday spirit. here's the holiday spirit. Get out your wallets, folks. Get out your wallets. So I got a few of those things. I've got all kinds of stuff here that I'll have to drop in. But my favorite is
real butter.
There we go. So welcome. And I pulled up the Frozen Robins. Yes, that started the show. Whoops. Oh, I put it in the wrong place. Let's put it here, and then I can do it.
Locusts we have heard on high, sweetly humming o'er the hood.
Anyway, that was part of the package. If you signed up for Kickstarter, you got the MP3s of this. Now, I'll tell you, if folks want the MP3s of Locusts We Have Heard on High, and there's three others, Mulching Around, The Backyard Tree, sung to the tune Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, and a couple others that are Silent Blight, Lowly Blight, All Is Brown, What a Sight. It's about plants. And let me know. You know, maybe if you order a book and very, very nicely request that I send you an MP3, I might actually do that. It's an email. You know, attach it to an email. How hard can that be? So there you go. And we have officially entered the holiday season. But today, in honor of the official entry to the holiday season, In just a couple of minutes, we will be talking to Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. Now, as you know, my caroling group, the Frozen Robins, appears several times this year at their Illumination event. And Illumination, if you want to see some of that, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. And on the side there, you'll see some of the photos. And Illumination's really fun. You take the family. And our group was out there last night. And what was it, 50 degrees? Unlike last year when it was 17 degrees. Of course, I wasn't there last night. It was some of the other folks. But I'm going to be there a number of the nights. And we've got those listed there. But Illumination's pretty much every day except some Mondays. And then Christmas Eve and Christmas Day through the holidays. So I think you should make an effort to get over there and see it. It's really, really cool stuff. And the Frozen Robins are going to be there December 13th, the 19th, the 20th, the 23rd, the 26th, and the 27th. But as I said, in just a couple of minutes, Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum, who's the head of horticulture, will come in because I want to talk to him about not just, gosh, aren't those lights pretty, but gosh, when you wrap them around trees and you bring people in to hug trees and you interact with that, what are the dangers of that? Can you harm the trees? And of course you can if you're not careful. And, you know, how do you string all this electricity around the grounds safely? They've got ridiculous amounts of cable. Where did I see this here? When they first set up Illumination, and this is the second year at the Morton Arboretum, they set it up in 2013, they laid more than 20 miles of cable, hiding it from the guests as much as possible. You'll see a little bit. It's not completely magic. You know, you gotta, you'll see some of it, but a lot of it is hidden. And it's pretty amazing. They for weeks, they had a team of technicians, 16 technicians, designers, and programmers, on and on and on. So Todd Jacobson will be here in just a second to talk about that. Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45. I'm going to thank him and say thank you for the 45 degrees yesterday and the 50 degrees today or whatever it is. I haven't been paying attention. I don't know about you, Helen, but I haven't been paying much.
What?
See, and neither have you. do that. Do that again. What? Yeah, okay. But I have no idea. Is it supposed to get cold again? I don't know. Talk to Rick. I haven't had time to pay attention the last few days. Really, really haven't looked at all. So he'll be here. Second hour, it's actually kind of free form. I mean, I've got some stuff I want to talk about. But as we get into the holidays, I'm going to turn the phone lines open, 773-763-9278. Call me and tell me what you want to talk about. Obviously, I'm telling you, I'm not going to talk about Ferguson, Missouri, okay? I'm not going to do that. But stuff related to plants, to the environment. But as I issue that invitation, 773-763-9278, starting at 10 o'clock, there are a couple of stories that I'm going to cover. One is this ad that the Emmanuel campaign has released, its very first campaign ad, which is about shutting down the coal-fired plants in Illinois, in Chicago. And some groups have gotten kind of upset about that. And there's just an odd thing about it, and I will talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour. I also noticed, I received news from LaSalle County that one of the big frack sand mining operations has received a notice of violations from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, which is kind of interesting. Surprise. About time, don't you think? And we might discuss that a little bit. few other things going on. So 773-763-9278 will get that all started on the Mike Novak Show. So stick around. Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum is next.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf. Killer asparagus was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work,
and so am I.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Raven Gosplach, my favorite holiday dish.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf. Mr. Data, options?
It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener.
I prefer my asparagus with a side of patakakon.
Mr. Wolf, are you joking?
Actually, Captain, I believe he is choking.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hey, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
And with that, we go to the phones. Bring in Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. Let me turn the speaker off.
There we go. Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
That's good, because I was going to have to bust you if you did that.
I know.
It doesn't actually sound any different, Todd.
Oh, great. That'd be my charming voice.
It is. Todd is the big giant head of horticulture. Do you ask them to put that extra title on there?
It's in the hands of marketing. They're still working on it right now, so fingers crossed.
So you'll go from head of horticulture to big giant head of horticulture.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm going to lobby for you. How's that?
Thank you.
Okay. So what does it mean? I mean, obviously it's all encompassing, but when you're the head of horticulture at the Morton Arboretum, what do you wake up in the morning thinking about?
Many things on the plate. I wear many hats. Primarily, horticulture is my biggest group that is under me. That I also oversee our lawn care staff and our arborists who maintain our trees on the ground. So there's always projects. There's always issues. There's always things to prioritize. But it keeps you hopping. And I've been doing it for 12 years, so something must be good.
Yeah, 12 years. Wow. Congratulations. I mean, anybody that sticks at a job that long must be doing something right. But I also like the idea that you said you deal with horticulture and also lawn care. So you don't put lawn care under the heading of horticulture, huh?
Well, you know, my passion is plants, but certainly, kind of a piece of the ground, and certainly lawn care, and then which kind of complements you know, the trees, the shrubs, you know, perennials, et cetera, that we use. So it's always a backseat in my mind. Of course, I'm sure I'm irritating all the turf guys out there right now. But
I know.
For me, it's really the plants is what my passion is. But it's a necessary service we provide. Is at the end of the day, we have a lot of groups that come out for special events and like to sit out on the lawn, whether it's for a concert or what have you. So it definitely is a piece of the puzzle.
No, I was tweaking the turf guys, too. That was the whole point. It was just like, make it a little fun, you know, and it's sort of my theme on this show, to make fun of people who obsess over their lawns. So,
and you're really good at it.
Yeah, I am. I've had a lot of practice. All right, so this is the second year for Illumination at the Morton Arboretum, and it runs through the 3rd of January pretty much every night except a couple of Mondays and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, as I mentioned earlier. But what I've been thinking, having been through it, performed there last year and performed there this year and seen the lights and seen the set. And by the way, you have made it better this year. Congratulations on that. It's very, very cool stuff. A lot of people might have seen news reports about it, especially teaming the Chicago Symphony Orchestra with the lights. Explain how that works.
Yeah, that was a nice addition that was added to the show this year. And basically, they had I think four pieces, I believe, that were pre-recorded by CSO, who was doing concerts for us the last couple of summers at the Arboretum. And so then John Featherstone, who's the designer for the light switch company, basically took that music and then kind of choreographed it with the lights in this new station, so to speak, that we set up. And so it kind of goes in harmony, as you probably had a chance to see when you were over there the other night. And it's fantastic. I think you could easily have a show just with that piece alone. It's that good. And, of course, you know, I've got a little bias, but seriously, I think it's really great improvement. And then I think the other improvement we really try to do besides that was just, I think they really did a good job pulling the lights through the entire course. We had a lot of kind of dead spots last year where it was kind of dark here and there. Now it's pretty much nonstop as you go through the whole mile loop. So it's, I was pretty pleased with it when I went through the kind of the preview a couple weeks ago.
It does keep people engaged. And you mentioned John Featherstone, and he's with the design firm Light Switch. And they've done some pretty amazing things. They've worked with a lot of fancy clients like the Art Institute of Chicago, Virgin Galactic. They did the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge. They've worked at Children's Memorial Hospital of Chicago and many, many more. And you talk about stringing that through. Okay, what are speaking horticulturally now, and your job in preserving the plants that you have on site, what are the considerations as these guys are out there stringing these cables?
Well, it's twofold. I mean, they have one piece of it, which is the main piece, of course, which is putting through all the cables and technology, the high-powered LED light fixtures that they use. And that's the biggest chunk for sure. And then the other element is the lights that are actually wrapped on the trees, which we actually do in-house. And we've been doing for years, and we've gotten pretty good at it. I have very talented staff. I claim no responsibility for any of that work they do. It's just fantastic. But, you know, we look at the types of trees that we're wrapping. We look at the types of equipment that they're using and how they're putting it in place and what kind of impact they might have in the plant. So, I mean, from the get-go, I think from the trees that we wrap, we're always looking for trees that have good structure, that have good, strong stems. If we try to wrap, let's say, something like redbud or Katsura tree, you know, maybe a beech tree. Those trees tend to have kind of more thin, wispy stems, and those are more likely to suffer breakage. Whereas if you use like something like a maple or a ginkgo, something with sturdier stems or what have you, that's, you know, really important to do. So those work well with the stringing lights, you know, the LEDs which we use. We also, you know, certainly do it in some shrubs. But we're always looking at kind of structure of the branches, but also making sure, let's say like a magnolia, for example, you can wrap a magnolia. It's an ideal because those buds are really susceptible to breakage because it's so large.
Yeah, I would imagine that's something you really don't want to do because you're risking losing some of those buds for the spring.
Right, right. And so ideally you don't, but in cases where we've had to, we'll either try to kind of, you know, string them lightly, loosely. Sometimes you can use, I've done myself at home, you use kind of like some zip ties and kind of almost make a noose and you can kind of thread them through that way and hang them gently. So there's ways around it, but certainly that's a big consideration. From the John Featherstone light switch, which is the design firm, and then ILC is actually the company that actually installs all the materials.
You say ILC. Hold on a second. Yeah. You say, let's not do acronyms here for people. They won't know what you're talking about. ILC stands for Intelligent Lighting Creations.
Yes. And they're the ones that kind of basically are in the trenches. They're kind of installing everything. Light switch is John Featherstone. He's the one that actually designed it. So, you know, ILC basically puts it into action. But so what they really have been doing is working with us. Well, this is their second year, and we kind of hold meetings. You know, we've been talking about illumination this year since January of 2014, looking at what we did well. And so basically they're taking in their materials, cable, you know, lights and what have you. They might have to be strapped on trees, things that have to be hung through trees. All those things are kind of worked through with us and making sure we do the best thing possible that's going to be, you know, best consideration for the, you know, for the tree's health, for what they're using. So we certainly don't want them, you know, drilling into trees haphazardly and putting in, you know, all kinds of, you know, straps and whatnot that potentially could compromise the structure of the tree. So we're looking at all possible ways that they can minimize any kind of damage to anything they have to put. So generally most of their stuff is really freestanding. It's on the ground. It's pointed towards the tree. Very little things are actually touching the bark. And generally speaking, you know, we did pretty well last year. I think we were pretty pleased with what they did this year. And so now we're just kind of working with them to make sure, you know, things kind of hold up through the course of the light show.
I think what it's kind of interesting you mentioning which trees are best for putting those kinds of lights on. And it's almost the opposite of what people think for the holidays, because when they're putting lights on, they're putting them on conifers. But that's something you don't really want to deal with. You want deciduous trees that have lost their leaves where it's easy to see the branches. And especially you want, as you said, those firm branches, ones that are and ones where you're not going to be lopping off buds left and right. So it seems like it's counterintuitive to what people think of as the kind of tree you decorate at the holidays.
Well, I think evergreens certainly work. Just they're a lot more time consuming in terms of man hours to do it, because you have to do it right. You really have to put in, you know, probably three times as many lights to get a good effect, because everything, you know, the needle, the foliage itself is so dense that you really need to kind of light it well, otherwise it almost seems like underwhelming. Whereas, you know, a shade tree, when we're wrapping, you know, branches of a shade tree, we're not doing every single branch. We're looking at the primary branches that really give you a good, nice outline of the tree, kind of like I was doing at 10 o'clock last night at my house. And it really trying to identify those. And so if you do it right, then you don't have to light the whole tree, and then you can really have a nice outline. It's a good effect. With an evergreen, and we made choices to avoid lighting evergreens, because it's just, you need so many more lights and it takes so much more time, and it's obviously a lot more uncomfortable trying to get your hands into a, you know, a spruce tree versus, you know, something that's lost all its leaves and you can kind of see what you're doing. So
yeah,
that's kind of the rationale for us.
About, I want to say a decade ago or so, I was talking to somebody in a tree care company about stringing lights, probably downtown Chicago or someplace like that. And I said, so it must be really difficult to get the lights off of the trees. And the guy said, oh, no, we just cut them off. And I just went, but you told me that's not the case at all when you're taking down the lights at the Morton Arboretum. What happens when the show is over?
Well, from the the ILC with all the LED technology stuff, that's all gets, you know, removed. Obviously, that's, you know, really high-priced equipment that they take back and put in their storage. But from our standpoint, for the trees that are wrapped, all of our trees have LED lights, so they're really energy efficient, you know, very little power kind of taken to fire these things up. And so we reuse them. And we've been using LED lights. We first kind of dove into that arena when we did some of our bald cypress at our front entrance, probably back, I think it was about 2006, maybe 2007. So that was back when they were probably like, you know, $1,000 a strand or something like that. It was pretty expensive. And it's still pricey now. I mean, you can buy a set of 150, 200 for like, you know, of regular lights, you know, the tiny lights for what, like $1. Whereas, you know, 50 lights are going to run you typically $8-$10 a box. So it's much more expensive. So we actually take all those lights down. We just take good care to unwrap them and reuse them because we find that the LED lights really do last a long time. We can get multiple years out of them. It certainly does take some more time. But, you know, certainly, you know, at least we're not dumping all these things in landfill and cutting them, which is common practice because the cheap ones are so cheap that pretty much it's faster and more economical from a labor standpoint just to cut them and toss them. But for us, we've had good results. I think the only downside of it is probably after year three, year four, you start to see some of the kind of the brightness of those lights start to dim a little.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by then you're getting your money's worth. And if you can get, you know, 4 or 5 years out of a strand of lights, you know, the LED lights, then you're well ahead of the curve.
That's great. We're talking to Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum about what goes on behind the scenes at Illumination. And by the way, if you're interested in it and you want to get a ticket, go to mortonarb.org, and you'll see right on the homepage, you can click onto the Illumination link. And buy tickets for the family. It's not very expensive. And there's about a mile walk you go around, and it's interactive. There's lights. There's sound. There's stuff for the kids. We wore. They even have the goofy gloves with the lighted fingertips, which we wore the other day. And they actually.
I saw your photo on Facebook. You look really good.
I've always wanted goofy gloves with lights on the fingertips. You mentioned running all that cable in there. Safety about that. Is there any worry about safety and the electricity that's used?
Well, I think this company is their specialty. They're dealing with this type of exhibit where you've got, you know, lights and sound being used. And so I certainly am not an expert in their technology and how they use it, but I know in general terms that the cable they're using, this is like heavy-duty cable, and this stuff is really weighs a lot. It's quite the undertaking. It takes, you know, a couple of days just to get, you know, the miles of cable down, and it just sits on top of the ground, above ground. But this stuff is so heavy and insulated and protected that, and then the amount of, you know, power it's actually pulling, being that everything is LED, is so small that, you know, never say never, right? But they're actually really professionals in doing this, and they've done this for, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of different events, and, you know, they have all the confidence that there would be no issues with it in place, and so far today we haven't had any problems.
That's great. What about, though, and I'm thinking about this because, like I said, there's interactive areas there. One of them is where people can hug a tree, and it changes, mm-hmm. and it changes color. And it's very, very cool, and the kids love it. Thinking about the tree and its root system and the compaction around that, how do you deal with that?
Well, those in that particular light station, we got some cedars that are lit up, and those are completely mulched. And so that whole area, just as we, you know, tell people when, you know, ideally where you can, if you have a construction project, and we've done this before with projects around our new buildings or what have you, where we'll actually, to protect some trees, we'll mulch them heavy, you know, put some construction fencing around them. Well, construction fencing obviously is an option here, but we definitely find a lot of benefit from kind of cushioning the compaction of all the foot traffic over and over again with that mulch and using that heavy layer of mulch and touching it up as it kind of gets kicked rough or what have you. Seems to do a pretty good job in kind of dissipating some of the weight from all the, you know, visitors kind of going up there and giving that a good hug.
Yeah, so you mulch it well, And it's, as you said, it spreads the weight. But then I imagine in the spring, do you go back then and look and see what you've got there? How do you check it later on?
Well, I don't think we necessarily check it for really anything. I think all we're really doing is just kind of continue that mulch layer. We'll do some maybe supplemental watering if we have a period of drought or what have you, just kind of keep those things healthy. But generally, you know, junipers, cedars, that kind of family of plants tend to be pretty tough. And I think those were one reason, too, they were chosen kind of as a station for our tree, just because we know that that is a tougher plant, maybe one that's not as, you know, sensitive to, you know, issues with the, you know, root compaction or what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. What are those plants where you say, you can't kill it? All right.
I'm not going to say that because you know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I know.
These trees, but you try to mitigate your possibilities that you're going to, you know, you certainly wouldn't do this. Let's say go and hug up a European beech or something that's really, you know, really sensitive, temperamental, needs green soil, that kind of thing. So you have to kind of pick and choose. And a lot of this thought was really went into each station here, where they were picking things to put in place and what we were trying to do to the trees to kind of use them as the interactive elements. A lot of thought was, you know, went into that. I mean, each season, you know, each year, I should say, goes through the same cycle. So we had some new things added this year. And so trust me, there was a lot of discussion, a lot of hands in the cookie jar. But I think ultimately for a good reason, because it's all, and obviously we want to make the show successful, but then really the most important thing from our standpoint in horticulture is to make sure the plants are in good health and can be around for years to come after the show is over.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's kind of why I'm asking the question here, because I'm concerned about them too. But as you say, you know, you pick certain trees to hang lights on for certain reasons. You pick certain trees that people can go up to and hug. For other reasons, and it makes sense. But in a sense, also, you're sort of married to the paths you already have around the grounds. Because I was thinking about that coming in this morning and going and thinking to myself, well, you know, you've got people coming into the visitor center and you want them to get right on the path and start engaging with the event. And you're sort of married to what you already have there. So you have to, I imagine that kind of limits what you can do.
Well, you kind of know once the route was determined, and we've kind of altered it last year. We actually went in a different direction, but this way we kind of reversed the flow. And just, you know, a lot of things are consideration, everything from, you know, ease of access to, you know, to vistas and what have you. But yeah, you're right. The trees that you have along the line is what it is, and then you kind of deal with that pile of plants and decide, okay, which ones work. And from, you know, ILC and light switch standpoint, you know, they've done a really good job with really, you know, capitalizing on the plants that we have and really showing them, you know, in the great light that they are. And that's really what the point of this is obviously it's a kind of a holiday, you know, theme to some degree, but it's also really just showing these fantastic specimens we have with this, you know, high power LED lights that really can show kind of the structure and the form of these plants. But I think that's the benefit of doing this show at the Arboretum. We've got really great specimen plants, evergreen, you know, deciduous, a whole mixed bag of stuff. And some of these are really old specimens. So really like our Kangosho pines, which I know you've seen before, these just fantastic bark, and it's one of the first stations you kind of come up to, and
yeah,
just really get to see their color, their bark, and the form, and what have you. So I think it's, you know, it's there's plenty to choose from. It's just, you know, from the design standpoint, them trying to figure out how they can best capture, you know, the forms and the structure of these plants with their really cool colors and the lights they use.
Okay, I need some personal advice here. All right. While I've got an arborist here, a horticulturist on the show, I've got a juniper in my backyard, probably Juniperus virginiana, which is the common juniper that the birds poop out seeds and then they pop up all over the place, right?
Well, those are definitely seeds that are tasty to birds, tasty to squirrels, sure.
Yeah. So I got one that popped up in my backyard. All right. So I let it grow. And now it's about 7 feet tall. And I don't like it, like where it's sited, but I figured I'd let it grow. And now this year I want to cut it down and use it as a Christmas tree in the house. Now, I'm a little concerned about how fast that sucker's going to dry out on me, even if I, you know, pop it in the water immediately. Any advice on that? Do you have any notion at all?
So it's about 7 foot tall, and is it real narrow? Is it kind of broad spreading?
It's pretty narrow. It's pretty upright.
Okay, pretty,
yeah, it's upright, and, you know, and I'd say that the diameter is maybe 6 inches. Something like that. It's not huge, but it should be. I was thinking it's like the perfect size for a Christmas tree, and I want to bring it indoors. Do you think I can get away with that for a couple of weeks?
Well, I think I've never brought a cut juniper indoors before. I've cut down my share of Fraser firs for sure, but I would imagine if you brought that in, there's certain the Christmas trees that tend to kind of probably brown out faster than others. That's why, my personal preference has always been Fraser fir, just because you get really long longevity. So I can't say I have any personal experience, but I think the only key I would say is as soon as you cut it, get it indoors and get it in water.
Oh, yeah.
The sooner you can get water kind of flowing through that system that it can uptake. Actually, I'll probably talk to you as of January 1st and tell me how long it lasted. I really have no experience with junipers indoors. I guess I would expect them probably to last just as long as any other cut tree, assuming you stay on top of watering it on a daily basis. Like I normally do mine at our house, which sometimes I ask myself whether it's worth doing the real versus the artificial, but I think likely it should be okay as long as you cut it. As soon as you cut it, get it in so it can start absorbing some of that water and so it can stay hydrated in the needles.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to do anyway. And I mean, the whole idea is I've got this plant that I want to get rid of anyway. I can save money on buying a Christmas tree. And it's an experiment. I've never done this, and I'm wondering if it's possible. In fact, if anybody listening has ever cut one of their junipers in their yard and used it as a Christmas tree, I probably am the only one, actually, I'm thinking right now. I'm odd enough to do that. But if anybody else has, give me a call at 773-763-9278. Be happy to exchange notes with you on that.
Yeah, we've led our share of junipers at the Arboretum, certainly that are in ground, they make great, lit Christmas trees, so to speak. But yeah, I just have not had any experience cutting one and bringing it indoors.
Okay.
So good luck.
Well, thank you. And when I see you in the new year, I will tell you how well that worked out. By the way,
I look forward to it.
That's Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. Just to wrap up, Todd, in getting away from illumination just for a second, and your job as head of horticulture, what was 2014 like for you as a guy who's watching the grounds at the Morton Arboretum? It seems to me the weather was cool and it was wet. It must have been pretty good for the trees.
Yeah, I mean, I think generally speaking, with the winter that we came out of, we had ample moisture, certainly that from melted snow. It seemed to, winter finally ended in May 1st, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking June 1st.
It seemed like it. Yeah, yeah. It could be. But yeah, we had ample moisture from the winter, and then we kind of went into spring, and it just kind of kept coming in terms of moisture. We had a lot of rainfall. I know from our mowing crews, this was an unusual year where pretty much we never stopped mowing. Usually you have kind of a lull in between, usually somewhere in July and August where the turf starts kind of going dormant a bit. But this year there was no stopping. At least I can speak from that. This is in the western suburbs. There was no stopping us. It was constant. We had a little bit of peaks here. We're a little dry a few weeks in the summer, and then we certainly had a dry period in fall, which made us wonder whether or not we were going to have much of fall color, but actually our fall color turned out to be pretty decent. But generally, yeah, it was just a really wet year. And then, of course, while that's good from a growing standpoint, a secondary problem that kind of comes up is, of course, just some of the root rot issues we were having, some of the fire blights, for example, some of those diseases that were really kind of flourish in kind of wet conditions. were kind of, you know, rearing their ugly head more so than not. So there's always, you know, good and bad. You have a wet year, you get, you know, some issues that spread out because you have a drought year. There's certainly some issues with decline. And, you know, we've had kind of up and down. We've had a couple of wet seasons, but then we've, you know, in between we'll have kind of a drought period. So it just really depends on, you know, where the plant's sited, how, you know, how it kind of succumbs to the conditions at hand. But generally speaking, I think most of our plants did pretty well. I think the biggest problem we had coming off the winter, just because it was so cold, is we did have quite a bit of conifer loss. A lot of the evergreens, we had some that we completely lost, or some plants that completely just got killed to the ground that, you know, we've never had problems with ever. So I think that was more of our issue coming out of the winter. But as far as the growing season goes, it was a fantastic one. You know, very little watering we had to do.
But lawn's
just
not
keeping up with the weeding, nonstop weeding.
Yeah, but as you pointed out, lawn's not horticulture. It's something else altogether. So
right.
But okay.
Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, but you're right. Mother Nature does tend to do that. It's no matter what weather you have, there's always something you have to look out after. Todd Jacobson, he's the head of horticulture at the Morton Arboretum. If you're interested in going to Illumination there through January 3rd, go to mortonarb.org. All the information is there. Todd, I hope I see you soon at one of the events.
I look forward to it. I think I'm working next Saturday. I look forward to seeing the frozen robins in action.
Well, actually, we're not there next Saturday, but we're there the Saturday after. So.
Okay, but you told me every Saturday. It's my fault.
It's okay. That's the only Saturday we miss, and then after that, we'll be back. So.
All right, well, I'll have to come out and see you guys.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
In the green room.
You dig.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
The Christmas tree's on fire. It's burning down the house. Flames are getting higher, and I'm trying to put it out. I'm beating it back with a tube sock and a cushion off the couch. The Christmas tree's on fire. It's burning down the house.
See, this is what I'm afraid will happen when I put the juniper in my house. It's something like this. By the way, this is Sarah Batka's favorite Christmas song. I guess new favorite Christmas song since I started playing it on my show.
This is definitely on my list of anti-Christmas songs I love.
I got a few of those. I've got my
Scroogey McGrinch list.
There you go. I'm at the top of your Scroogey McGrinch list. All right, let's go to the phone. Bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Mike. Am I in line one today? Just want to know.
Are you? Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Okay, just want to know. Because that means I always try to give you some really interesting, great tidbits of information when I'm on line one. Line two, I just kind of, you know, I just kind of milk it a little
bit. You just phone it in.
I just phone it in, yeah.
Okay.
what a lovely day out there, huh? Isn't it great that we have, you know, October weather at the end of November?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we sort of flipped. What's going on here, Rick?
God, this is crazy. I mean, I was thinking about, I was at the Northwestern game on the 4th of October here in Evanston, and it was snowing, and it was the coldest October 4th ever. And yesterday there was a football game in Evanston, Illinois against the Wildcats. and it was like 55 degrees. And I'm like, that's not fair.
I know.
I was supposed to have that weather back in early October. And even then it would have been cool.
But I'll tell you, it's good for, you know, like us performing, the Frozen Robins performing at Illumination. When you're out there and it's 45 degrees, that's nice. That's heaven. That's really fun. Yeah.
Great for the squirrels, great for the leaf blowers. Don't you love hearing that sound at 9 in the morning?
Oh, you know, I got that. I got the leaf blower song I can bring out for you if you want. But, yeah.
What does it sound like? They're all the same, right?
Well, no, it's a guy singing about a leaf blower and, you know, threatening to do bad things to his neighbor. And it's funny because I saw that the other day. It was in the city. And on this corner, there was this crew, and they were blowing the leaves, and there was still snow on the ground, so they're blowing them. They're blowing the snow and the leaves.
God. I hope we don't get snow blowers like that.
Lordy, they were blowing them into the street, and it's a windy day, and I'm thinking they're not going to blow right back. Why are you getting paid for this?
Yeah, well, I did my job.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're done, and then you move on. So.
I know that there's some locales that actually prohibit the use of a leaf blower before like a certain time of the day. I think it should be like 10 o'clock or let's say 11 o'clock on a Saturday and no, let's say 9 o'clock on a Saturday and 11 o'clock on a Sunday. How about that?
Here's what I got to say. 30 days in jail. 30 days in jail for use of any leaf blower. Okay. I got no use for them. Done.
Yeah. And on your release date, they give you a rake.
Yeah. I like that. So why are we 50 degrees today? And what does that mean? And how long is this going to go?
You know what? It's a great question because the pattern has become what we call more zonal. So we've had more of this flow coming right in off the Pacific Ocean. Last couple of days, there's been this buildup of incredibly cold air in north central, I should say west central Canada. And you always get that when you have a zonal flow because it means that the air isn't being mixed up. So the last couple of days, and this is going to really hurt to hear this, Mike.
Oh, dear.
Yesterday afternoon in Denver, Colorado, it was 72 degrees. That's not fair, is it?
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. I'm happy with 40 or 45 because when it gets to 72, then I start to worry again. I think that's not right. This is not right.
Well, I mean, that's just because you have mild Pacific air crashing over the Rocky Mountains, and you end up having what we call downslope warming.
Right.
But while it is, you know, that's going to happen any time of the year. That's not climate change or climate warming or anything like that. But it just goes to show you how dramatic weather can happen when you have, you know, 14,000 foothills to the west of you. But we even had temperatures, I say we, but they had temperatures 60 degrees in Sheridan, Wyoming. But while it was 60 there for a high, it was 13 in Billings, and it was 12 below for a high in Cutbank, Montana. So this incredible contrast of air mass from basically Arctic to mild Pacific in a matter of a few hundred miles is what's going to be impacting our weather pretty much in the next, not the next few days, but the next few hours. The front is right to the south of Madison. So if you can get out and enjoy the next 2 hours of upper 40s, low 50-degree weather. This will be like giving an early Christmas present because we may not have weather like this again for a while. And, you know, that's always going to be something I'll say when you get into, you know, the end of November, early December. But think about what you can do with a day like this and day like yesterday as far as doing yard work. You always talk about getting the yard work done at the end of the season before you get into next season. You can probably even get a couple of tulip bulbs in the ground. I wouldn't be surprised. And even decorating the tree or doing some pruning of bushes, this is one of those bonus days that, you know, Mother Nature throws at you and says, you know what, it's never too late.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea that it was going to change that quickly because I actually I still have some bulbs that have not gotten in the ground. So this is the day. When I get out of here, I go home and throw them in there.
Yeah, it sounds like something you hear at church. This is the day the bulb shall be planted. Well, whatever. I'll let you finish the rest.
I don't know.
But, yeah, like right now, it's currently 35 up in Madison, Wisconsin. It's in the mid-40s in Milwaukee, and it's the front is basically pushing just to the south of Rockford and just to the south of Waukegan. So it's going to be here in a couple of hours. And even though it's 48 right now, probably by the time you end your show, it may be 47. And by the time lunchtime runs around, it'll be 45. And by mid-afternoon hours, it'll probably be back in the 30s. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, this is the kind of weather we had last week.
Right.
When we had these incredibly cold days. Remember I talked about the possibility of having a white Thanksgiving. They had a, you know, a 2 to 3 inch snow band that happened, that occurred rather just south of us. And while we're not going to get any snow out of it, by this time tomorrow morning, here we are currently at 48 degrees. We can easily be 30 degrees colder with wind chill values in the single digits. So some very chilly air come upon us. The good news, though, and it's interesting, as much as the pattern is trying to become somewhat active, the storm pattern appears to be setting up to the east of us. So if you don't like, you know, snow in the first couple of weeks of December, we're not going to get it. In fact, it's amazing how many storms have actually been in and around the Chicagoland area, but not in Chicago. They've been across central Illinois. They've been across eastern areas of Illinois, I should say, into Indiana. They've been across most of Iowa, Wisconsin, parts of Minnesota and Michigan. Everywhere else in the Midwest has had snow except us. And it looks like the next 2 weeks, we get just kind of in like a very nondescript pattern where all the moisture, all the precipitation is to the east of us. And we'll get these occasional dumps of cold air with an occasional day in the 40s. But, you know, that's typically what you get this time of the year in early December. And that's pretty much what we're going to end up getting.
But it sounds like no significant snow on the way at the moment.
Yeah. No significant snow. The pattern is trying to figure out what it wants to do. It's definitely becoming more active, but right now the activity is primarily across the eastern half of the United States. This Tuesday, if anybody is interested, the local chapter of the American Meteorological Society is having their annual meeting. This will be our Christmas party, and I'll be the featured speaker.
Really?
I'll be at Lewis University. It's no big deal. I'm just talking about aviation meteorology in the college curriculum, and I'll probably be talking a little bit about our recent climactic variability. And the great thing about these meetings, Mike, is you get to sit down with people in the field of meteorology who are in their late 70s, early 80s, actually Ray Waldman, who was the previous meteorologist in charge of National Weather Service. He's 92. And when you sit down with people like that who've been following weather for, you know, probably 70 years when you think about it, you get to ask them questions like, Ray, so is the climate really changing? He'll go, yeah, Rick, I think it is. I've never seen it do this before. So I can't wait to sit down and talk to them rather than be talking at them. And that's one of the best things about those meetings is you really get a historical perspective on things.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, you'll have to let me know. But there you are. My meteorologist on my very own meteorologist, Rick DeMaio, is heading up the meeting this Tuesday. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, good stuff all the way. So in the last 30 seconds, real quickly.
15, but go for it.
15. 51 here at Midway, 48 at O'Hare. It's 37 at Rockford and much cooler weather on the way tomorrow, Mike.
Okay, I'll get those bulbs in the ground. Hey, have a good meeting on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Second hour, 773-763-9278. Talk about what you want to talk about. I got some stuff that we'll start with.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program, heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT, AM, and FM in Chicago. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company, because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Now, this is my all-time favorite Christmas carol. I adopted this a number of years ago after a friend of mine sent this to me. It's the Klezmonauts. It's pretty cool, right?
I like it.
It's peppy, as they say.
It sounds almost more like a Hanukkah character.
I know, that's the point. Yeah, it is kind of that.
Why are there more Hanukkah carols in the mainstream? I want to hear that stuff. I guess they don't call them carols.
They don't, but I've got a nice Hanukkah song that I will play at some point.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
When is Hanukkah this year, by the way?
I don't know, offhand.
Why don't you Google it, track it down, let's find out. Last year it was really early, I think. I'm pretty sure it was early, and I think this year it's later. So
Google says Tuesday, December 16th is the start.
Oh, it is late. So it's going to sort of dovetail as we get right into Christmas.
Yeah, the last night will be as people celebrate Christmas Eve.
And I was just looking here. I'm wondering if I have my Hanukkah song. I don't have it here, but I'll have it next week. I won't forget to bring the magic tunes.
Cool.
Next week, so I'll have a Hanukkah song for you. Tom Lehrer. Do you know Tom Lehrer?
Sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know.
Okay, hold on a second. Maybe this will give you an idea.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again.
Sounds like your kind of carol.
I know, he's the poisoning the pigeons in the pond.
There you go.
Hold on, I got a call.
Okay. You grab that. Poisoning pigeons in the park. Yes. Good. I'm glad you know who Tom Lehrer is. Okay, several things here. Let's start with my reminder, as I've done for the last several weeks, that I hope you check out my new referral network, the Mike Novak Show Referral Network, at MikeNovak.net, and click right on the homepage because it says there in big red letters, brand new, the Mike Novak Show Referral Network. And some great people who have businesses agreed to be a part of it, like Rick Moskowitz at A-Plus Pest Control. We do it like we live there. I should drag up one of his things. I don't have it right hand handy. Maybe I can find it in a second. But you can always go to APlusPest.com. APlusNaturalEnzymes.com, and you click on the link, it'll take you to APlusPest.com, an all-natural green alternative to the dangerous chemicals used by other pest control companies. APlus Pest Control, Inc., a full-service, environmentally safe pest control company serving Chicagoland since 1979. And I hope you check it out. He handles everything. And he does it safely, and he's supporting me on the Mike Novak Show Referral Network. So thank you very much for that, Rick Moskowitz and A-Plus Pest Control. And then I want to mention, of course, the other thing, it's really cool that I've had a number of people click on the Support the Mike Novak Show, and because they like listening to what I have to say on the air, they have put their money where their mouths are. And for the holidays, if you want to keep the radio show going, that would be a good place to do it. As I pointed out, and you know, you hear Norman Goldman talk about it all the time, it's hard in the 21st century to support progressive radio. And I'm an independent show, fully independent. It's Mike Novak, LLC. And if you want to support me and keep me going, go to Support the Mike Novak Show. And I want to thank all those people who have done that already. I've thanked them in person. I'm going to thank them in general now. Thank you. As I said, it's I'm not a not-for-profit, so you don't get a tax write-off. Think of it, as I said before, like a political contribution. You don't get a tax write-off for that either, but you do it because you care. And I hope that some people care. Before I get to Frank on the line there, hang on, Frank. Going to be with you in just a second. Got a couple of emails. One was from Richard. in Evanston. Dear Mr. Novak, call me Mike. Dear Mr. Novak, I'd like to dub the George Lucas Museum the Death Star on the Lake. It needs to be a campaign issue against Rahm Emanuel. Yours very truly, Richard Fleer in Evanston. Now, I've already said that. I keep saying there's your ready-made campaign issue. Just keep our lakefront free and clear. I'm telling you, you guys and gals running against Mr. Emanuel, there you go. And then I got this other one the other day from Marianne Garcia. She writes, thanks for the great service you do in teaching us and informing us about our Mother Earth and helping us to understand the damages city, state, and nationwide. Marianne from Logan Square. It turns out she's, you know, doesn't live right next to me, but she's kind of in the hood. So I was sitting at the computer and this pops up, boink. You know, the subject line was love your show with like 12 exclamation marks. So I'm sitting there and I wrote right back, said, hey, thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it. And then she writes back, what an honor it was to receive your email so quickly. It happens if you're sitting at the computer and that, you know, anything to distract me from my real work is a good thing. So if you pop one of those in the mail to me and I happen to be sitting at the computer, it's a good thing. She writes, what an honor it was to receive your email so quickly. It made Thanksgiving even more special. I live around Armitage in California. I have Puerto Rican coffee and your show every Sunday morning. I have lived here 32 years. You inspire me to love my planet Earth more. I'm blessed to have a yard that I plant perennials, annuals, and veggies to make sofrito, a Puerto Rican condiment we add to our food. I also have a beautiful apple tree I plant to attract butterflies, and thank you, I learned that from you and my 90-year-old father who picked sugarcane in Puerto Rico. Have a wonderful holiday and New Year, and I can't wait to get your book. And thank you for keeping the fight alive. This is an amazing Mother Earth! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Well, there's a bunch. Marianne, that's what a sweet note. That made my holiday to get that. And I hope you're sitting at home drinking Puerto Rican coffee this morning, or maybe even walked outside, because as Rick DeMaio said, we're in the last hours of the nice weather, and then it's all going to go south. But thank you so much, and I'm glad you're doing that. And thanks to your 90-year-old father who taught you. I bet he taught you a lot more about butterflies and healthy soils than I ever did. But it's nice to be included in that mix. And by the way, she mentioned the magic word. And the magic word, well, the magic words are
attack of the killer asparagus.
And go to Around the Block Press, makes a wonderful Christmas gift. I'm just saying. All right, let's go to the phones. Frank, you're on line one. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
You know, as long as if I can get home and get those bulbs in the ground, I'm going to be great.
Yeah, I'm beyond that at this point. I still got to harvest my potatoes from the previous season. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, oh, boy. You know, they might have gotten a little frozen.
I know. Everything froze up a little quicker than I thought.
Yeah, it did get quick. It wasn't fair, was it?
No. Life is not fair. Mike, I'm just calling to remind you about the Midwest Renewable Energy Association Fair, the third weekend in June in Custer, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Stevens Point.
Now, wait a second. Now, I know you sent me a note. Last year, you actually did a report for me.
Yes, I did.
And this year, I asked you to do a report, and I didn't hear from you. What happened?
I got lost. I don't know, Mike. I'm a busy guy.
Aren't we all? No, it's okay. Yeah. So you didn't get to the fair this year?
No, I did, but I just got up there for one day by myself. My buddy couldn't make it, and you know, and the year before, as you know, I went a week early. It was all messed up. So, but I think I'm back on track.
Well, tell me a little bit about this year. I saw this article the other day. in the New York Times that renewable energy is rapidly becoming very, very competitive with fossil fuels. Did you get that sense at the fair this year?
That is absolutely true. If you look at, you know, all the new sources of energy, I mean, it's well over 70% is coming from renewables, wind and solar primarily. The price of solar has dropped. Of course, wind isn't that expensive. And, you know, so you're looking at the new stuff. Now, it may take, decades to really, overcome fossil fuels, of course. But the trend is there. There's no doubt about that.
I just happened to track down the article that I saw. It was in the New York Times on the 23rd of November. It says, for the solar and wind industries, and wait a second, who's this written by Diane Cardwell of the New York Times. For the solar and wind industries in the United States, it has been a long-held dream to produce energy at a cost equal to conventional sources like coal and natural gas. That day appears to be dawning. The cost of providing electricity from wind and solar power plants has plummeted over the last 5 years, so much so that in some markets, renewable generation is now cheaper than coal or natural gas.
That is absolutely true.
Utility executives say the trend has accelerated this year, with several companies signing contracts known as power purchase agreements for solar or wind at prices below that of natural gas, especially in the Great Plains and Southwest, where wind and sunlight are abundant.
That is true. That's what's happening.
And finally, and this is part of the deal, because I was talking to Ron Cowgill from Mighty House about this the other week. He and he talked about this. Those prices, and this is, again, from the New York Times articles, those prices were made possible by generous subsidies that could soon diminish or expire. But recent analyses show that even without those subsidies, alternative energies can often compete with traditional sources.
I could not have said it better myself.
Well, if you were writing for the New York Times, you could have, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I like to write, but I'm not that good. The other thing is, the prices are coming down, but there's starting to be a lot of pushback in the States, by ALEC, the Koch brothers, those guys, where, you can sell power back into the grid, to the power company. They want to put fees on top of that to make it less competitive.
Oh, I know. They're going to do it, and that's the real crime, is that they're going to, not that they're pushing it because you expect them to be against the idea of a healthy planet somehow, simply because it's, and they don't care. It's just about making money. It's just about making money. But the fact that our legislators go along with that is what the real sin is in this.
Yeah. I can see not helping out. Okay, I'm gonna not do anything to help, but get out of the way. Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way.
I'm with you there. And it's so what was the you say
energy
you
fair?
you went for one day to the Midwest energy
fair, but I've been there 5 or 6 years in a row, and it is just a wonderful time. They got like 50 acres or so. I mean, they own more than that, but the fair itself, and they got all sorts of exhibits, all sorts of vendors. If you want to go home with a solar panel, a PV panel, you can do that.
Really?
There's educational opportunities, from the various technical colleges in Wisconsin have renewable energy installation programs, stuff like that. They have all sorts of lectures and talks on various topics, from permaculture all the way up to, hydrogen something or other.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful thing. And then there's they got a nice food tent. Actually a whole food area. And then they have a beer tent. There's a solar powered brewery up there, Central Waters Brewery. And of course, you're going to want a couple of cold beers. It's just so mellow. And, I guess in one sense, it's like a bunch of hippies, you know, talking about, well, we can live lightly on the planet. But, you know, the reality is we can live lightly on the planet, and we got to learn how, though.
We need a, when you said a bunch of hippies, and it's almost a pejorative, and it needs not to be a pejorative, because now, a lot of those, and I'm using air quotes here, hippies are doing a lot of good things for the planet right now. A lot of them have stuck to their guns and continued to work to make this a healthier planet. And if you're going to use that pejorative, we need, what's the opposite there,
I don't get how people don't like hippies.
I'll try and come up with something better than that, but, I hope you get my point.
I do get your point. No, I mean, absolutely I do. And what impressed you most this year when you went?
Actually, the beekeeping seminar I went to. There's some guy out of Milwaukee. He used to work for Apple Computer. He started reading about bees and hearing about, colony collapse disorder and whatnot, and said, I got to do something about this.
Yep.
And this guy, you ask him a question about bees, he can just talk for hours. So I, come January 1st, my Navy Reserve pension kicks in, and I turn 60. And so I'm going to spend, and my first month I get, everything else goes to college for my younger son.
Uh-huh.
But the first month I get, so I'm going to buy a beekeeping thing. Not the box type, it's the high, I forgot how to describe it, but it's more like a sawhorse type arrangement.
Yeah.
So I'm going to buy one of those. And just talking with this guy is just, he could talk forever about bees. So,
it's funny, you go to a renewable energy fair and the thing that impressed you was the beekeeper.
Because it's all related.
I know, and that's the point. That is exactly the point, Frank, which is it's all tied together. One of the things you learn is that everything is connected, and that's why we have to pay it. And it's unfortunate. It's really hard to pay attention to everything at the same time, which is why I burn fuses in my brain occasionally. But we do have to do that. Frank, I really...
All I can say, Mike, is great minds think alike.
And I want next year, I want you going to the fair and give me a report.
I'll give you a report.
From the fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I got one more thing real quick.
Sure.
You say you live by two rules, go green or go home.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that one rule?
Yeah, but who's counting?
Okay, I'm just curious.
it's what we call marketing. Marketing doesn't have to make sense.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
All right,
Frank.
Mike, love you. Thank you. Take care.
Have a great holiday.
Bye.
773-763-9278. It's the Mike Novak Show. I'm taking some phone calls. I got some other stuff I'm going to talk about, but we'll get these phone calls out of the way, and then I'll get to my stuff. And Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. By the way, one of the things I'd like to have your listeners know is that in the Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Yes.
The lyrics to your Christmas carols are published.
Yes, that's true. Some of those Christmas carols, if you heard the top of the show, you heard one of them.
I'm looking at it right now. Locusts we have heard on high. and I would agree that asparagus is killers because I really hate the stuff. So if I ate it, I would die.
Do you like asparagus in general?
No.
Oh,
No, that's why I said if I ate asparagus, I would die. So,
I love asparagus. I am a big fan of asparagus. I could have it every single meal.
Well, we all have our problems, don't we?
Well, I guess so. We do.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about, you've talked quite a bit about the Eliana, I guess that's the way you pronounce it.
Yeah, totally.
Highway.
Yeah.
One thing you haven't talked about at all, which I think is an equally vicious threat to the environment, is the Route 53 extension. Route 53 currently ends at Lake Cook Road, which, of course, everybody knows is the dividing line between Lake and Cook counties.
Right.
But anyway, they've been planning for decades trying to expand Route 53 north to Route 120.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's going to go right through, a very rural area of, Cook County. A lot of farms there, small towns and things like that. That's going to totally destroy, really some of the best areas of the country.
Uh-huh.
And I think that you should try to give that a little more publicity, too, so hopefully we can gin up opposition. And by the way, to show you how uneconomical that is, they've done studies, and they've said that, you know, they're going to make it a toll road. Right now, Route 53 is not a tollway. It's a freeway.
Would they extend the toll down all the length of 53?
That's the only way they could conceivably pay for it, is to make the entire Route 53, you know, a toll road.
Well, you want to see people's, you know, people go crazy, is take a freeway and turn it into a tollway.
Yeah, well, of course, they don't publicize that a great deal, because then, you know, there would be, you know, revolution. I mean, can you think about all the if you've ever driven Route 53, you know, you've got a lot of entrances and exits, you know, in and around there. They try to put a toll booth on each one of those things. It's absolutely absurd.
Wow.
And, you know, this is also, you know, heavily populated area of the northwest suburbs, you know, Schaumburg, et cetera, Arlington Heights, going down. And as I said, you know, there's so few people who are going to use this stupid road that they can't pay for itself. So I think that there's no reason for it except that, you know, let's see, I can think of three reasons probably. Reason number one would be the road contractors. Reason number two would be the unions that service the road contractors. And reason number three would be the politicians who get the campaign contributions from the road contractors and the unions.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe reason number four would be all of the politicians who've bought up land secretly, because Illinois has this land trust that nobody really knows who owns the property. And I'm thoroughly convinced that was the reason Piatone was being pushed, you know, because a bunch of crooked politicians probably bought up a lot of land around there, and they thought they'd make out like bandits.
Well, it is something that has, I saw in, you know, out of the corner of my eye, the Route 53 extension, and I haven't done this. So now I need to get on board with that, because it sounds like just as bad or even a worse idea than, the Ileana Tollway.
Yes, well, exactly. I mean, there's a, I'm looking right now. I just did a Google search on it, you know, and this is supposedly updated as of the end of October 2014. It's the last chance to end the 50-year Route 53 extension struggle. Hope grows for an end to the fight between traffic and the environment in Clay County.
I did a little quick search here and found some articles on Sierra Club site, including. And again, this is not me having done serious research into this, but a fellow wrote on the Sierra Club, construction of the 53 extension through Lake County's wetlands is now at the top of the funding priority list set by CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning. As we alerted you last August, it sticks out like a sore thumb in CMAP's Go to 2040 plan for more efficient transportation. That plan speaks of a kinder, gentler, modern boulevard, quote-unquote modern boulevard, Route 53 extension. It looks like I've got to do a little research on this. I wasn't aware that CMAP, and I'm still not. I'm just using this particular article. What do you know anything about CMAP's connection to this, Chris?
They're running around. I mean, I've heard it a little bit, you know, trying to come up with all of these great city planning ideas, you know, for the future. And when has a city planner ever done anything good in the last 30 or 40 years?
Well, but the whole point of the, you know, CMAP Go to 2040 plan is to sit down and do this in a reasonable way, a smart way. And that's why the whole Ileana thing has been so frustrating, because the board of CMAP said that this was a bad idea. And then their subcommittee came up and said no. And then the subcommittee that has the power to get this through said, no, we want the Ileana Tollway. And now it seems to be they're at loggerheads over that. So I don't know what the story is.
Yeah, they've had a representative speak on a local talk radio show a few times about, you know, their plans for some of these, you know, smaller towns in Lake County and some of their grandiose ideas that they have got. But, you know, I think that this you know, is a this is a real and present danger, you know, to the environment and, you know, to a total way of life and really to some very sensitive areas that, you know, they're just going to pay, you know, like to choose Joni Mitchell, you know, they've paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
All right. I found it on the CMAP site here. And this is the project overview. And this is from the CMAP site, the go-to 2040 plan. The project overview reads, with its population growth, with its population growth significantly exceeding forecasts, Lake County has seen traffic congestion become acute. In 2009, residents approved a non-binding referendum in favor of extending Illinois Route 53 north to Illinois Route 120, known as the Illinois Route 53-120 Corridor Project. In 2010, the region's award-winning Go to 2040 comprehensive plan included the project on its highest priority list. So that fellow who wrote in the Sierra Club was correct, citing performance measures that show this facility as ranking highest among all projects in its effect on region-wide congestion. In 2012, the Blue Ribbon Advisory Council recommended creation of a 21st century urban highway. This modern boulevard would have a smaller footprint to minimize potential negative impacts while protecting the natural environment and preserving the character of Lake County. As recommended by the council, tandem committees have been formed to examine feasibility. The Land Use Committee is staffed by CMAP and the Finance Committee is staffed by the Tollway, with Lake County helping to staff both. This document, which goes on at quite a great length, is an overview of the land use planning effort. And for information about the Finance Committee or the Illinois Route 53-120 project in general, see www.illinoistollway.com/construction-and-planning/community-outreach/etc. So looks like CMAP's for it. I need to do a little more investigative work on this.
Yeah, so please, you know, turn your sights onto it, and hopefully your mega microphone can,
Do you know how small this microphone really is? Do you have any idea?
Well, you know, it's, as I said, hopefully you'll be able to, bring it, to put a spotlight on it, because one of the things I've noticed about politicians is, you know, they really hate sunlight.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and the anytime you bring attention to things, they tend to scramble like cockroaches.
scuttle like cockroaches, I think, is the term.
Okay, but at any rate, I always felt that sunlight's the best disinfectant when it comes to politics. But.
Well, it's good to talk about this, but, you know, here you've got CMAP in favor of it, and apparently the citizens of Lake County who did a referendum on it. Where do you live, Chris?
I live in Palatine, so I live on Dundee Road, which is 1 mile south of Lake Cook Road.
Right, so you are affected by it in the other county.
Well, I mean, I'd be affected by it by any time I drove on Route 53 and have to pay a toll.
It's true.
And, where you don't have to pay one now, and that road has already been paid for through our taxes, you know, gasoline taxes, et cetera. And now they figure they want to build this road, this turkey of a road, that they couldn't pay for it by raising sales taxes in Lake County to pay for it. They couldn't raise it enough money by tolls and gasoline taxes. So they're probably going to put tolls on the entire Route 53, and they'll probably turn around and raise taxes on gasoline and a sales tax also to pay for this turkey that is not going to need. If it's so important and it's going to reduce traffic so much, then why can't it pay for itself?
Interesting. Interesting questions. All right, Chris, I'm gonna check into that. I really appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Mike. You're doing the Lord's work.
It's on a Sunday, too.
Yeah, all right. Why do I need to go to church when I can listen to Mike Novak?
There are people who would disagree with you, but I don't mind taking the Lord's place sometimes, occasionally. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
So, anyway, everybody should buy Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Would you say that again, Chris?
I said everyone should buy Attack of the Killer Asparagus, and maybe even two or three copies.
And then give them to relatives for the holidays,
think? Keep them around the house, too.
You never know when you're going to need to lay it on a friend, you know?
Well, or you just put it in the reading room, better known as the bathroom.
You know, and it is the world's best bathroom book.
Absolutely. You could pick it up and just read, you know, a chapter or a couple of paragraphs. And it's, and I love the illustrations, by the way.
Yes, Helen?
I was just going to say, no problem if you run out of toilet paper also.
Whoa!
I think that deserves a ding, Mike.
Or that.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for calling. You have
Thanks.
A great Sunday.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. Are you on my side, Helen? Is there, I mean...
There's no way to tell.
You're right. Absolutely. There is no way to tell. 773-763-9278. I got a couple of things I'm going to talk about in just a second. But first, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And I'm one of my favorite holidays. I think it is my favorite holiday because it seems the least commercialized. I don't know how it's escaped that. Probably because I'm not sure why. Because they fold it into Christmas. It's, you know, you don't really, when you see the car ads, they're all about Christmas, but they're not about Thanksgiving. You don't get a car for Thanksgiving. You get a car for Christmas. And so they just skip it, which is great. Keep it low on the radar there. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the locally laid scrambled eggs I had for breakfast on Turkey Day, as well as the locally laid eggs I added to my pumpkin pie recipe. You saw the pumpkin pie, and I don't know if you saw it. I had finished. I brought in a piece here today before I
was about to say, you don't bring me no pumpkin pie.
I thought about it, and I was running out the door. I thought, oh, maybe I need to grab one for Helen. But I used locally laid in the pumpkin pie and the scrambled eggs because they use non-GMO corn in their feed, and they plant a tree with every delivery. You can get locally laid at Produce World, Municipal Foods, and World Fresh Market. And don't forget, tell me where you got locally laid. I'll put your name in a commercial. For a full list of Chicagoland retailers, visit locallylaid.com. Locally Laid, because local chicks are better.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report.
They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf.
Mr. Data, be more specific.
Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Of course. Attack of the Killer Asparagus is required reading at Starfleet Academy.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Gwynoch of Ningladore.
Captain, shields are failing.
Thank you, Mr. Worf. Mr. Data, options.
Captain, it seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener, taking all our self-delusions, mishaps, and confusions, and playing them for big laughs.
That's not very helpful, Mr. Data.
No, it is, however, highly accurate.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakenings, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakenings features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
flavorful golden brown turkey is the crowning glory of your holiday dinner table. And
ho! It's another Christmas song. Ready, brother, for another Christmas song. They play for a month ad infinitum. One day it struck me, someone must write them. So, it's another Christmas song. Santa Claus singing on naughty snow. Reindeer ringing in the mistletoe. The manger's on fire, the holly's aglow. Hear the baby Jesus crying, ho, ho, ho. Hey, it's another Christmas song. Another off-returning, royalty-earning Christmas song. I've got plenty more, so go buy a modem. Log on to iTunes and pay to download them. Pay for another Christmas song.
There you go. See, I think these are the kind of songs that you believe in, right, Helen?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's a Stephen Colbert thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He's the best. He is the best. So I wonder what that last show is going to be like. This it's coming up pretty soon in the next couple of weeks. I know. It's going to be weird.
Don Albert's show is really good, though.
So he'll just live on forever in syndication.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, that's because it's a topical show. Still, funny as heck.
You can pull some classic bits and put them together, I think.
Yeah. Saw this this week. A friend of mine sent me this press release, and then I put a couple of things together, two and two, mainly got six. You might have heard the news story because it made the rounds this week. I'm not sure how far it made the rounds. Here's the press release reads, and the headline is "Cease and Desist Order Given to Rahm for Chicago Campaign by Grassroots Activists for Unlawful Use of Protest Photo in Clean Air Ad." It's a long headline. It reads, 50 individuals and groups that worked on the campaign to close down Chicago's toxic coal plants presented the Rahm for Chicago campaign with a cease and desist order for airing an ad that contains a photo of their protest that the campaign did not have permission to use. Rising Tide Chicago joined Bridgeport Alliance, Pilsen Alliance, and Pilsen Environmental Rights and Reform Organization, all community groups that have fought to have the coal plant closed, at City Hall at 10 a.m. This was the other day on the 26th, Wednesday. They had a press conference to express their outrage at how their efforts to fight for clean air is being used to promote Rahm Emanuel's reelection campaign. Rising Tide Chicago demanded that the campaign stop using the photo. Other asked that they pull the ad because it falsely gives Emanuel all the credit for closing the coal plants. Rising Tide Chicago, one of the groups that worked on the campaign to close down Chicago's toxic coal plants, were surprised to learn this week that an Emanuel campaign ad contained a photo of civil disobedience protests that participated in helped organize. Permission to use the photo was not granted to the Emanuel campaign by the photographer, and most of the activists that participated in this event are objecting that it's being used to promote his campaign. All right, it's kind of interesting about that because I saw the ad. It was not too long before I saw this. And was kind of interested because, you know, obviously it was the first Rahm Emanuel campaign ad. And what's interesting is that it features Kimberly Wasserman Nieto, who is the executive director of the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization, or sometimes called by its letters LVEJO. And she ain't exactly a slouch. She's a kind of a rock star in the environmental movement. Was last year the recipient of the Goldman Environmental Prize for her grassroots work. Grist.org last year did a story on her called "Meet the Woman Who Shut Down Chicago's Dirty Coal Plants." So here we have these environmental groups saying, hey, we don't like this idea that Rahm Emanuel's using. And in the case of a specific photo, I can certainly understand that. If that's their photo and the photographer didn't give permission, yeah, I think you should probably take it down. In the case of Kim Wasserman, it's interesting because obviously she's endorsing Rahm Emanuel. There's no other way you can take that ad. And she is one of the people who helped shut down those coal plants and thinks that Rahm helped. And obviously he did. He did play a part in that. So the thing that's a little odd is that, in saying that the ripping on the Rahm Emanuel campaign about this, her name doesn't seem to have come up at all. So I'm bringing it up. And it makes me wonder if there's a tension in the environmental community about this. And I know Kim. I like her. I've worked with her. So I guess, you know, she has a right to endorse whoever she wants for mayor. It just makes me wonder if there's a tension there between those groups. And I'm just asking questions. What I need to do is get representatives from those organizations on the show, get somebody from Rising Tide Chicago and maybe get Kim Wasserman on the show and talk about this. Because right out of the gate, here we have the and it is kind of interesting that the very first ad for the Emanuel campaign is an environmental ad. And if you ask me if I thought Rahm Emanuel was an environmental mayor, I'd go, not so much. That would be my own take, my own personal opinion on it. I would say, not really. So it is kind of interesting that that is the shot out of the gate for the Emanuel campaign. It'd be interesting to see what happens next on this. And I think maybe I will have to pursue this further. And again, I'm just asking questions. I don't have the answer to this. It just seems kind of odd and a little dissonant, if you will, for the environmental community. All right. The other thing I mentioned earlier, this is kind of interesting because I got a email from a couple of folks out LaSalle way. And this was written in the Web Times. mywebtimes.com out in LaSalle, and they've been covering this quite regularly, the frac sand mining issue. And by the way, I saw did we have somebody who wanted to comment on Route 53? Did we lose him?
Yeah, we lost him.
All right. Who was that? If he wants to call back, 773-763-9278, I'd be interested in more opinions about that Route 53 deal. But getting back to LaSalle County, following 35 complaints, 35 from affected residents in and around the Osage Curves, which is an area near the sand mines. You just need to know the particular road, and the Osage Curve is something that is a local feature. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has issued a notice of violations to Northern White Sand LLC in Utica. From a Freedom of Information request return received Wednesday morning, the Times learned the IEPA has notified the Silica and Mining Company of two non-compliance violations. The state report said Northern White Sand, in an alleged violation of its construction permit, quote, failed to develop, maintain, implement, amend, and submit to the IEPA an operating program designed to significantly reduce fugitive matter emission. And by fugitive matter emission, they mean blowing sand. By the way, this article is written by Steve Stout, who I met out there when I stopped in September. He goes on to write, the agency also maintains that Northern White Sand, quote, caused, threatened, or allowed the discharge of particular matter into the atmosphere during material handling and storage operations causing or tending to cause air pollution, end quote. You think? I've seen photos that folks have sent me from there where they can trace words in the sand, the silica sand, that is on their windowsills. And I think one of those was indoors. That's how much silica sand is blowing around in that area. The article goes on. On Tuesday, the IEPA sent Eugene Hodges, NWS operations manager, a formal notice of their findings with an explanation of the activities in which the company may resolve the specified violations of environmental laws, regulations, or permits. In its notification, the agency told Hodges, quote, due to the nature and seriousness of the alleged violations, please be advised that resolutions may also require the involvement of a prosecutorial authority for purposes that may include, I guess it means purposes, that may include, among others, the imposition of statutory penalties. It was not entirely clear at this time if any of those potential statutory penalties would include monetary fines, writes Steve Stout in the Web Times out in LaSalle County. That is the interesting part. IEPA comes in and says, hey, you're violating law. The sand's everywhere. It's blowing in. People are sucking it in. There was an IEPA. And this is another good part of the story that Steve Stout wrote. The EPA actions derived from a visit to the silica processing plant and surrounding area by its field investigator, Emilio Salis, on November 6th. In his report, he toured the facility, met with Hodges, and interviewed neighbors who claimed to have been affected by the sand blowing from the sand piles. In his narrative report, he said, quote, while stopped 20 feet from the sand piles, the author could hear the sand particles hitting the state car. An attempt to leave the car and take photos was aborted due to eyes full of sand. The author discovered that during the few seconds the door of the vehicle was open, the dash and other surfaces of the car had been covered with a thin layer of sand. I'm sorry. I'm laughing only to keep from crying. Phone calls to Hodges at NWS were not returned by press time. Well, big surprise. And yet they're not clear that there will be any penalties. These people are living with this every day there. I've been reporting on this for now 3 years. These people live with the sand piling up. You walk out the door. I've been out there. I've been stung by the sand particles. But I don't have to live there, and I don't have to experience it every day. And this is our part of our problem, is we don't make it. We need to make it difficult to violate the law, make it hurt. So if you had a statutory penalty and it's, you know, I don't know, $10,000 a day, $50,000 a day, that hurts. Somebody's going to take notice. Fix it. Same thing with, I would say with, with fracking. That had occurred to me. One of the problems with the new fracking regulations was the lack of real fines. Just crazy, you know, $150 or $200 or $500. It's nothing. Even $1,000. It's nothing. You start at $10,000. You start at $50,000. You start at $100,000, and then people get the message because this affects people's lives. It affects the health of them. Their health, it affects the health of the planet. That's our problem, is that we don't make it hurt when you violate these laws. And that's because the laws are written by the industry. It's just sad. So I wanted to call that to your attention as well. All right. It doesn't matter whether it's November, which is today, or December, which is tomorrow. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine has every month covered with their Q&A column by Adele Klein. In the November-December issue, she tackles these questions, among others. Question: how do I keep rosemary growing through the winter? Hint: keep it somewhat dormant, which will keep it less stressed. Question: can I grow peanuts in my home garden? Hint: we did it in my community garden. I'm speaking Mike Novak here. And they showed up by accident. Squirrels, obviously, planted some peanuts in our community garden, and then they sprouted. And we had a peanut plant. It was pretty cool. So if I can do it, it can't be that hard. Question: why is the bark on some of my trees falling off? Hint: could be the weather. Could be an insect like emerald ash borer. Consult your local arborist. Question: why does Mike make fun of Christmas carols in his column every year? Hint: because he is disturbed. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, pick one up at newsstands all over town. Get a subscription or give one this holiday season for a friend or even a relative. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more.
And how the reindeer loved them as they shouted out to me. You should have heard them. Rudolph, your red-nosed reindeer. You're down in history. I'm Rudolph. Rudolph.
Your red-nosed reindeer, Rudolph.
All together. Before we get out of here, I want to call attention to something. And next week, I'm going to be talking to Green Diva Meg, because I have become part of something called the Green Divas Radio Network. It's actually an online thing. We're going to talk about what that means. And they're in a sort of a fundraising campaign right now. And I don't know if you can put that up on our Facebook, maybe there, Helen, but I know it's on Twitter. It's something called, they're doing it in time for Giving Tuesday, which is this Tuesday. And it's a thunderclap here is the outfit that's putting it together. You go to www.thunderclap.it, and then type in hashtag GDGD. Giving Tuesday Madness, and they are raising money to put together the GDGD radio network, which that stands for Green Divas. And I'm going to be part of that network. This show is going to be added to it and be online. And so I'm happy to be part of their outfit. And you can, if you're on Twitter, use the hashtag GDGD or hashtag Giving Tuesday Madness, or go to www.thunderclap.it and then search for it. And Helen's going to pop this in various places. So as I said, next week I'll have Green Diva Meg on the show and maybe Green Diva Lynn. And they are doing their bit, too. They're out there doing shows similar to what I'm doing. Not exactly the same because they don't really cover the gardening aspect and the horticultural aspect as I do, but they do a lot of green living stuff. I will have her on and she'll explain more about this. But if you want to help them get this thing launched, and I'll be part of that launch, the Mike Novak Show, go to the site. Okay, I believe that's it. We've got a 3-point landing here, and Out Chicago with Scott Duff is next on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Anything else that you want to say there, Helen, before we let it go here? Maybe if I said go green, you would say...
Oh. Go home.
Okay, that works.